themselves converting 8 out of 17. Andy Davidson, the powerful fullback for the Black Knights, finished with 26 carries for a career-high 130-yard game. Marv Bradshaw, also the quarterback, ended up with 65 yards on the ground, three with an interception in the passing game. That passing game is one of the things that we know our academy teams don't quite do as well. So that was the Black Knights. They held in there. The first quarter, Tulane went up. Then the Black Knights came back, went up 10-7. The Green Wave came back in the second quarter to go up 14-10. It remained that way in the third. And in the fourth, Army took the lead and only to be eclipsed by the Green Wave. 21-17, only with 23 seconds left to go in the game, did they give up that touchdown. So it was a great game in New Orleans. And when you're on the road, it's tough to play on the road. And so they found it going a little rough.
However, Navy did a little better, didn't they? Quite a bit better.
Now, the midshipmen, they hit their stride, literally, especially quarterback Zach Abey, as he ran for 128 of the midshipmen's 569 rushing yards against the Bearcats, as Navy won 42-32 in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. Navy is now 3-0, 2-0 in the conference, and they amassed the second most rushing yards in program history, just 3 yards shy of the record. As for Cincinnati, their quarterback had a 3-yard touchdown pass on a fourth down that pulled them to within 10 points within 6 minutes left in the game. But the midshipmen were just not going to be denied. You know, a couple of stars for Navy, Tyler Carmona, Malcolm Perry, and, of course, Zach Abey. They really had a great game, again, rushing for 569 yards. Now, the defense gave up some yards, too, now, as Cincinnati scored 32 points. But the whole idea is to have more points at the end of the game than they do, and Navy did that well.
They sure sounded good to me. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're looking at last week's Service Academy football games with our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Now, Air Force played at San Diego State, right?
That game was in Colorado Springs against the San Diego State Aztecs. Air Force dropped a tough game, 28-24. Danny, I was watching the game. Air Force goes up 6-0, then 9-0. They were looking good, but there was a lightning strike. It caused the game to be halted for about an hour or so. So the teams went to the locker rooms, came back out, completed the first half. At the end of the first half, Air Force was up 9-7. The beginning of the second half, though, Rashad Penny was the story for San Diego State. And Air Force just did not have an answer for him. He scored 3 touchdowns on the day. In the third quarter, he scored a second. But Air Force came back, went up 17-14. San Diego State came back, went up 21-17. Air Force went up 24-21, but with 37 seconds left to go in the game, they gave up a 53-yard touchdown run to Rashad Penny. A heartbreaker of a game to lose in the final minute with 37 seconds left on the game. Air Force drops a stunner, 28-24. And it's a defense that has been playing well. We had a chance to witness them firsthand when they played Michigan. The defense has been playing well, but they just gave up a big one at the wrong time to fall to San Diego State and to fall to a record of 1 victory against 2 losses.
Ouch. Air Force is not used to that, are they?
No, they're not, Denny. And but, you know, they lost 3 in a row last year and were able to come back and be a 10-win, have 10 wins. So this year we're going to see what Coach Calhoun can do as far as pulling the team together to and riding the ship so that they can have another successful season.
Well, that's what we're counting on. Quentin, it's crystal ball time. Let's see. Army plays UTEP. I've got a master's from UTEP. Navy's at Tulsa, and I think Air Force is New Mexico?
That's correct, Denny. And you know, we expect Navy to go to 4-0. They should be able to handle a Tulsa team, even though Tulsa's always a tough team at home, especially. But the midshipmen are playing good ball again. They hit their stride. Expect Navy to win that game. Air Force travels to New Mexico. Last year, Air Force lost to them 45-40. So it's going to be another tough game for Air Force. They're not out of the woods yet. And the Black Knights play Texas at El Paso. You know, notice how Air Force, Army, and Navy all like to play in Texas. Why is that? Because there's a lot of recruits that go to the military academies from the state of Texas. And so at Texas El Paso, Army is going, I expect them to hit their stride again, to really get rolling on the ground again. The option, I think, will just be a little bit too much for Texas El Paso to handle. And, Denny, hopefully that won't be a conflict for you and your alma maters between UTEP and Army.
No, there's no challenge there. I like UTEP, but when it comes to anybody who plays Army, Navy, or Air Force, I don't have to worry about that too much. The only challenge you and I face, of course, is when our alma maters play Navy. Then, of course, we can't be cheering for all of the service academies.
That's right. And let's already put the oar in the water for October 4th.
That's when Navy plays Air Force, isn't it?
Navy plays Air Force, and that game will be in Annapolis, and that will kick off the Commander-in-Chief rivalry season.
That's a coming up, and that's going to be quite a game. Do you have any predictions about the outcome of that one?
Well, Denny, thus far, I would have to give the edge to Navy. I tell you, Air Force was really looking good, but, it's a week-to-week thing almost. And until they are able to, they being Air Force, is able to kind of get back on the winning track, you've got to go with Navy. They're playing good ball. They're undefeated at this point. And Coach Neomatalolo, I tell you what, he's an outstanding coach and just really knows how to push the right buttons to get the Navy team to play to its potential.
I agree with you, my friend. Folks, as you know, every week at this time on the show, we'll be covering this football game. Quentin, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your insights. I'll be talking to you next week.
All right, Denny. Good talking to you now. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. 50 pounds should do. And do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. The rules of business are changing, and women entrepreneurs are at the forefront of the transformation. According to the 2017 Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight, more than two-thirds of female entrepreneurs believe women will match or exceed men in holding C-suite or executive roles. Furthermore, a majority of women entrepreneurs believe women will achieve pay equality with men over the next two decades and anticipate that paid maternity leave policies will expand into at least 25 states. Sharon Miller, Head of Small Business, Bank of America.
As I meet with women entrepreneurs across the country, I'm constantly struck by their unwavering resilience and optimism. These women are working for a brighter future, one that includes equal pay, work-life balance, and greater support for their families. Their insights about equality in the workplace bode incredibly well for the entire small business community.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. The Eisenhower Center and their After the Impact program really help our troops who are suffering from traumatic brain injury. Any vet with this problem should check this program. Money's not an issue here. These folks really want to help our injured vets. Check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the weekly mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at Denny@FrontlinesOfFreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's first?
Fred from Colorado really enjoyed your interview with a doctor about our imperfect historical leaders. He feels it's both stupid and illegal for crowds to tear down monuments, and stupid and history-denying for governments to take them down.
Fred, you said it all. I believe that only perfect people should be allowed the right to take down monuments to imperfect people when those monuments were erected to honor those imperfect people, anyway. And they crucified the only perfect person to live on this earth. So everyone should leave our monuments alone. Agreed. I agree with you, Fred.
Carol wrote that her dad, a Vietnam vet, was singing along with the Vietnam-era songs you played a week or so ago. She Googled and found the songs. It's been great for her and her dad to have something to share.
Carol, I too was singing along. I know how you and your dad felt. My thanks to your dad for his service to our nation. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was thinking about my time at U.S. Readiness Command in Tampa. I was the Mideast war planner. I also had started an on-base Bible study under the cover of the Officers Christian Fellowship, or OCF, a group in which I was an active member. I later served on their board. The current OCF board president was an active duty Major General Clay Buckingham. The good general and I were friends. Indeed, we were on a first-name basis. He called me Denny, and I called him General. He was making an official visit to our headquarters, and Marilyn and I invited him to spend the night with us, and he accepted. The next morning we arose, and he and I shared a breakfast of cold cereal and milk, along with orange juice. That's my normal. I was eating my cereal and looked into the bowl and saw some bugs, a not uncommon problem in Florida. My problem? What, if anything, should I say to the general? I dumped my cereal into the garbage disposal, hoping that he'd do the same if he had the problem. He didn't say or do anything but eat his breakfast. I had no idea if, as a good guest in my home, he just ate the bugs, or ate around him, or if his cereal was not infested. I never had the nerve to ask him until about 30 years later when we were both at West Point for reunions. He did remember his visit with us, but didn't remember any bugs. So finally, I can rest at night.
Well, Colonel, promise me one thing. You know, every once in a while, you and I'll have lunch together.
Yeah.
If you see a cockroach in my food, please tell me about it.
Okay. I guess I can do that.
Thank you, Colonel.
These weren't cockroaches. These were little bitty crawly things.
Crunchy.
No, they didn't add much crunch. A little protein, though, maybe. Now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 4 October 1918, German Chancellor Max von Baden, appointed by Kaiser Wilhelm II just 3 days earlier, sent a telegraph message to the administration of President Woodrow Wilson in Washington, D.C., requesting an armistice between Germany and the Allied powers in World War I. The armistice, or ceasefire, was agreed on and took effect at 11 minutes after 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month. 11 November was originally celebrated as Armistice Day in the U.S. It's now celebrated as Veterans Day.
It is indeed. And on 4 October 1944, General Dwight Eisenhower distributed to his combat units a report by the Surgeon General that revealed the hazards of prolonged exposure to combat. It was called shell shock. Quote, "The danger of being killed or maimed imposes a strain so great that it causes men to break down. One look at the shrunken, apathetic faces of psychiatric patients, sobbing, trembling, or referring shudderingly to them shells and to buddies mutilated or dead, is enough to convince most observers of this fact." This was the beginning of the recognition of what we now call post-traumatic stress. By the way, Skip, I hope everybody knows it's not PTSD. It's not a disorder. It's a wound. We only got the term disorder because the drug companies wanted to be able to use prescription drugs for it instead of just helping you heal it. So it's post-traumatic stress, folks.
On 4 October 1957, the successful launch of the unmanned satellite Sputnik 1 by the Soviet Union shocked and frightened many Americans.
You know, there was a race between the U.S. and USSR to get the first one up. What we were attempting to use was the Navy's Vanguard rocket, but it failed. We ultimately used the Army's Jupiter C to get something into space long after the Soviets did. However, if you were on the team of the Vanguard rocket, we changed the name to the Rearguard rocket. And later on, we called it the Civil Service rocket because it won't work and you can't fire it.
Well, Colonel, I remember I was 3 weeks old, and I remember all this specifically.
You kid. You know, I'll have to wipe your – anyway. And on 5 October 1969, in an embarrassing breach of our air defense capability, a Cuban defector entered U.S. airspace undetected and landed his Soviet-made MiG-17 at Homestead Air Force Base, Florida. Air Force One was at the base at the time, waiting to return President Nixon to Washington. The base was subsequently put on continuous alert, and it opened a new radar tracking facility to prevent a repetition of a similar incident in the future. Yeah, the pilot defected, and we were glad to have a new MiG to look at.
And someone's head rolled on that one, I'm sure.
I suspect more than one.
On 6 October 1973, the surprise attack by Egyptian and Syrian forces on Israel threw the Mideast into turmoil and threatened to bring the U.S. and the Soviet Union into direct conflict for the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Though actual combat did not break out between the two nations, the events surrounding the Yom Kippur War seriously damaged U.S.-Soviet relations and all but destroyed President Richard Nixon's much-publicized policy of détente.
Sometimes you get the bear. In this case, the bear got us. And that's military history. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Take us home.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A gang of would-be home invaders learned a lesson the hard way after surprising a 22-year-old male in his Jacksonville, North Carolina apartment. While the resident was getting ready to head out to dinner one night, he heard a knock on his apartment door. His mother and a friend were in the home with him, and he was not expecting any visitors. He went to the door and, looking through the peephole, saw an individual dressed in a hoodie. Since he didn't recognize the person, he grabbed his Glock 30 before opening the door. At first he saw no one, but as he turned his head to look down the stairs, he was kicked in the face by the stranger, who then tried to force his way into the apartment. The armed citizen fired 5 shots at the attacker, striking him several times. The thug later died. The apartment dweller noticed several others fleeing after he shot the man in the hooded sweatshirt. 4 suspects were subsequently arrested and charged as co-conspirators. Onslow County officials said the armed citizen will not be charged because he was acting in self-defense.
Thanks, Colonel. Our armed citizen in this story did some really good things, but first, let's learn from his biggest mistake. He opened his door and his home up to a stranger. Now, it's important to note that 50 years ago, this wasn't a big deal. In fact, it was quite normal to open your door anytime someone knocked on it. But the times have changed, and we no longer have the luxury of hospitality to strangers. This will be difficult for some of us, simply because we were raised to be kind and to welcome everyone. I recall a verse in the Bible that says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." However, I've read the whole Bible, and nowhere does it talk about angels wearing black hoodies and refusing to identify themselves. The armed apartment dweller in this scenario was definitely brave and apparently a pretty good shot, based on the fact that his attacker took the room temperature challenge. But that doesn't negate the fact that he never should have opened his apartment door in the first place. When someone knocks on your door, first look out to see who it is. Then, if you don't know them, simply ask, "Who is it?" Then ask for more information, like, "What do you need?" It's quite common for invaders to lie to you because they know you're a good person and can be taken advantage of. For example, they might say, "My car just broke down and my wife and kids need help." In a case like this, simply respond, "I'm calling 911 right now and help will be here shortly." If they have nefarious purposes, they will quickly leave. If they are on the up and up, then they'll stick around and thank you for your hospitality. Follow your gut instincts and, above all, give yourself permission to not let strangers into your house. It's okay. You can be kind and helpful without endangering yourself and the ones you love.
Makes sense to me, but I'm glad he got that pistol.
Yes.
Our book giveaway this week is Mark Wilweber's Muskets and Applejack, Spirits, Soldiers, and the Civil War. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Muskets and Applejack in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Bradley Farrar will discuss his book, God and America. We're going to talk about how America gets noticeably militarily weaker as we get further from God. We'll also talk with Dr. Ed Tick about a trip to Vietnam he's taking in November with a bunch of Vietnam vets. Bladen Hardin will share his book, King of Spies. It's about the spies we had in Korea during the Korean War. You'll be surprised at what you learn. And, of course, we'll review this week's Service Academy football games.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends at Guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com. That's EisenhowerCenter.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's not about me. It's about these incredible people from the military to FEMA, the first responders. I mean, I've never seen people working so hard in my life.
President Trump on the ground in Puerto Rico surveying the damage from Hurricane Maria and also the efforts to get relief into areas that most need it. The president praised the governor of the island.
Your governor has been who I didn't know. I heard very good things about him. He's not even from my party, and he started right at the beginning appreciating what we did.
The investigation continuing into the mass shooting in Las Vegas that's left 59 people dead. Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman says she has a resilient city that will bounce back.
This has been a resilient community who will not be defined by the sick, disgusting human being. I will never mention his name.
Get all the latest news online at usaradio.com.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
One Republican senator is calling out Democrats for religious bigotry when it comes to candidates for positions in the Trump.
They're able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Cancer researchers are noting a racial disparity in many studies of cancer.
Researchers say more than 55,000 people took part in cancer trials from 1996 through last year. In trials conducted since 2003, more than 80% of the trial subjects were white. Researchers say minority participation has declined compared to earlier trials. The study also found that people 65 and older made up barely more than a third of the trial subjects. The study is being presented this week at the American Association for Cancer Research Conference in Atlanta.
The widow of Pat Tillman is telling people don't politicize her husband. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Pat Tillman played for the Arizona Cardinals before joining the Army after 9/11. His widow, Marie, released a statement Monday saying that his service should never be politicized in a way that divides the country. She went on to say that Tillman fought for the right for the American people to have the freedom to express themselves. The statement comes after President Trump retweeted a tweet that included an image of Tillman and the hashtag #StandForOurAnthem.
The sale of Cabela's to Bass Pro Shops is finally complete. Bass Pro acquired Cabela's for $4 billion after a year of negotiation. Cabela's first announced in November 2015.